Welcome to the Live Well podcast, dedicated to helping those with autoimmune disease get control of their health through diet, lifestyle shifts, and personal empowerment. I'm Christina Tidwell, your host. I'm a registered nurse and holistic health coach who is passionate about bringing together the best of both conventional and complementary approaches to healing. You can learn more about my personal experience with autoimmune disease at my website, christinatidwell.com. Just a brief disclaimer, I'm not a doctor or naturopath, and the opinions presented here are personal and are not intended as medical advice. Always consult with your doctor and your care team before making any changes to diet and lifestyle to make sure they are right for you. All right, let's get to it. Hello, I have Tina Christudias-Spiro here on the podcast today to talk about navigating your thyroid health and finding your normal when it comes to thyroid lab values. So Tina is also known as a thyroid dietitian. She is a Harvard-trained registered dietitian. She's certified as an autoimmune protocol coach and is currently training as a functional medicine practitioner as well. She's also the author of the book, Tired of Feeling Tired. And Tina herself was diagnosed with Hashimoto's thyroiditis, an autoimmune condition affecting the thyroid, in 2009, and used diet, lifestyle, and a more holistic approach to health to recover. So through consulting, writing, speaking, and workshops, it's Tina's mission to inspire and enable as many people as possible to take their health into their own hands and be an advocate for themselves in their health journey. So I'm very excited that Tina's here with us today. Thank you for being here.
Hi, Christina. Thank you so much for having me, and thank you for that wonderful introduction. It's almost like, oh my gosh, is that me? Okay.
Yeah, I know. I'm really excited to have you here. And I should note that you are here talking to us from Greece, too, in Cyprus. So that's...
Yeah, from all the way from the Mediterranean. And yeah. Christina, I also wanted to just take a moment to say that I'm very proud to know you, because you're doing such wonderful work and reaching so many people and helping so many people with autoimmune disease. So I just want to say congratulations for that.
Oh, thank you so much. That means a lot. And we, Tina and I met in the Autoimmune Protocol Certified Coach Program. So we both found that we had a real passion for the same types of things, you know, like having a more functional, holistic, whole person approach towards autoimmune disease. And yeah, I too am very glad to have connected with you and different practitioners from all over the world, which is one of the coolest parts of that program, I think. Yeah. And I'm excited today to be able to have your knowledge about the thyroid, because I know that's your thing. Like you're the autoimmune disease, all of this, but whenever I have questions, I'm like, who can I ask? Tina. She'll know. So yeah. So tell us a little bit more about your, I guess, personal experience with Hashimoto's thyroiditis and going through all of that and how that kind of led you to where you are now.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of says a lot. It speaks a lot to where our passions come from. And definitely, if you've gone through something, you're that much more passionate about it. And knowing what I know today, I probably had a thyroid problem from as early as 15 years old. Because when I was 15, I was that kid that was an overachiever. I was a straight A student. I was very involved in performance. In fact, I actually went to university originally to become an opera singer.
Wow.
So I was, you know, I was in drama. I was doing after school plays. I was doing the voice lessons, the ballet lessons. I was just go, go, go all the time. But even so, I always felt a little bit slower than everybody else. Like I always had I always needed a time to rest. And this carried out throughout my 20s. Like I always felt like even after going to the gym, I needed to take a nap or I needed to sleep more. And I never thought anything of it because I thought, oh, okay, this is my normal. You know, I'm just really tired, more tired than others, let's say. However, the big symptoms started to occur. I mean, I was diagnosed about 9 years ago. And again, it was kind of like that, oh, okay, I get it. So this is why I have trouble losing weight. Okay, so I'll take thyroxine. Awesome. Obviously, that wasn't enough. What really was my turning point was when I gave birth to my daughter 7 years ago. Mm-hmm. Shortly after I had given birth to her, I would say about 4 months out, I started losing massive amounts of hair. I was depressed. My energy was at the floor. I couldn't move out of bed. I was severely constipated. Like, I couldn't go to the toilet for like weeks at a time, which was very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And when I had gone to the doctor to ask what's going on, even though I'm like, what's going on? I take my thyroid medication. I don't know why I'm like this. The approach was kind of like, well, it's kind of all in your head. And by the way, you gained weight. Why did you gain weight? Because you're supposed to be a dietitian. You're supposed to know how to control your weight. And to say the least, I left that office feeling very deflated, very hopeless, really, about what I could do about my condition. And, you know, we talk about as health coaches, having that support system, how valuable that support system is. Well, my husband was there for me. And he started doing some research on the internet. He found this book called Stop the Thyroid Madness.
Yeah.
And I started, you know that book?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I started reading through it, and I was like, wow, like, this is me. I can relate to this. And to make a long story short, we found an integrative doctor in England, and he put me actually on desiccated thyroid, which is a bioidentical form of thyroid hormone that has all the thyroid hormones in it, not just T4. And he also started talking to me about nutrition and supplements and what I could do in that area. And it was kind of like my aha moment, because it was like, wait a second, I trained in this and nobody taught us this stuff. So yeah. Basically, as a registered dietitian, you're taught how to maintain a desperate disease state. Diabetes maintenance, cardiovascular maintenance. You're not taught about how nutrition can be a very important part of the therapy to getting you better and to bringing back health. And that's when I started becoming a guinea pig on myself. I started, you know, when I went gluten-free, that was a huge breakthrough for me. Like, I was this, no more brain fog. I started going to the toilet a little bit better. I started concentrating. I came back into the world of life.
Wow,
so gluten
yeah.
was a big one.
Yeah.
Gluten was a big one for me. Then I got rid of dairy as well, and I had suffered from acne most of my life. And when I got rid of dairy, the acne went.
Yeah.
So like, just making these adjustments helped me. I went through a bunch of detoxes. As we'll come through in our talk, a lot of people that have thyroid issues can have toxic load, an overabundance of toxic load on them. And, you know, like, and this can come from anywhere from having braces, which I did for 3 years. People can have, can get nickel toxicity. They can be sensitive to nickel, which is in the braces. Mm. Or if you have amalgam fillings, you can be, you can have toxicity from the mercury. And because our thyroid is a soft tissue, a fatty tissue, all these toxins are absorbed in by our fat cells. And the problem is with the thyroid, though, is that it serves a very important function of being like, since I have a music background, the conductor of the orchestra
yeah.
of your body.
Yeah.
And if that conductor is kind of like taking a break,
yeah.
the orchestra, the rest of your organs and your body don't know how to act. So,
yeah,
I mean, and then basically in my journey, I started to do the research. I wrote my book, and then what was another kind of aha moment for me in my career was actually doing the autoimmune paleo course and realizing that there's so many other practitioners such as yourself that have had a history with autoimmune disease or some chronic disease and are really passionate about helping others to gain back that health. And so here I am today studying to be a functional medicine practitioner and continuing on that journey, and I could not be happier. I feel very blessed. Hashimoto's thyroiditis was actually my biggest blessing in my life.
Yeah, yeah.
I know that sounds strange.
No, but I get it.
It was a big blessing.
And that's amazing that you've taken that experience and kind of run with it and really learned a lot and realized. And I think, like you said, going through that makes it all the more important for us individually as practitioners, because we really know where our healthcare system helps us and then where it fails us. And when it comes to especially some of these chronic autoimmune issues, a lot of people fall through the cracks. And I just kind of want to back up quickly and say, for anyone listening, then when we're talking about Hashimoto's thyroiditis or autoimmune thyroid disease, so we're talking about autoimmune disease, and depending on which tissue or organ of the body that is being affected, that our immune system is mounting an attack against, that's the name of the condition or disease that you will have. So in your case, if the immune system is mounting an immune response against the thyroid, then it's Hashimoto's thyroiditis or Graves' disease too. People may have heard of that as well. So I just kind of want to lay that out for people too, so they understand when we're talking about that. And then for the, maybe if you want to talk a little bit more about kind of the diagnosis process, or maybe like the typical treatments that are available right now, and then we can kind of dive into how people can kind of find their normal and think a little bit more holistically, like you have been helping people do, if that sounds good.
Sure. So what happens typically in the conventional practice of diagnosing hypothyroidism is that you usually go into the doctor, you say, I'm tired, I've gained weight, I'm depressed, I'm just not feeling like me. And so the doctor will order a test called thyroid stimulating hormone, or TSH for short. And this is basically a hormone that's produced by the pituitary gland that tells the thyroid to produce thyroid hormones. The problem with this diagnostic test is that, first of all, the normal range, that most labs adhere to still, unfortunately, has been predicted and sampled from a group of sick people. So that's not a normal range. If your TSH is like 4.5, which is the high end of the typically higher range, you are hypothyroid. You know, your thyroid is sluggish, okay? What's ironic, and what most labs don't know and what most doctors don't know, is that even from 2002, I wrote it down, an organization called the American Association of Clinical Chemistry, so these are the people that determine what are the normal lab ranges, said that a normal lab range for a euthyroid population, in other words, normal thyroid function population, is between 0.5 and 2.
0.5 and 2 TSH. And
that should be the goal. They actually said until 2.5, but the therapeutic range of, you know, treating with thyroxine or other desiccated thyroid hormones or whatnot should be between 0.5 and 2. Mm-hmm. So already, you could leave the doctor's office very disappointed because you said to them, I have all these symptoms, and the doctor sees a TSH of 4 and says, well, your TSH is fine. That's normal.
Yep.
And another bad thing about this is that doctors typically just test TSH, maybe free T4 if you're lucky. T4 is the storage form of thyroid hormone. So T4 is transformed to T3, the active form of thyroid hormone, which is like a lot more active than the T4 hormone. And that's the hormone that actually attaches to your cells and lets the cell get on with its metabolic activities. And so you want to be testing for TSH, free T4, free T3, and then something called reverse T3. And reverse T3 is basically like a dud. Okay, so if you have your cell here, it has a little door in it, and it lets free T3 attach there and start doing its work, and the cell starts to metabolize. Now, if you're overly stressed, if you're not sleeping enough, if you're iron or ferritin deficient, if you're B12 deficient, if you have other nutrient deficiencies, reverse T3 can drastically increase, and guess what? It starts attaching to your cell door. And free T3 is just kind of left out here doing nothing. So this is what we call thyroid resistance. So you could be taking thyroid hormone, but you have resistance. It's not really doing anything in your cells, okay? And then the other massive part of, I think that instead of TSH, I think doctors should be looking first for antibodies. Because you could have antibodies in your body 15 years before you have any thyroid damage. Mm-hmm. So it could serve as a great screening tool. So all these things should be tested for in terms of diagnosis of hypothyroidism and Hashimoto's, because 95% of all hypothyroid cases are autoimmune in nature, and that's Hashimoto's. that's a huge percentage to ignore and not test for antibodies.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And do you find typically that a lot of people don't test right off the bat? They will just test the TSH and say, okay, it's within this normal lab range, and then you can be on your way kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, more and more people are becoming aware.
Yeah.
But in general, I would say that TSH only is tested. From what I see here in Cyprus, I will see a TSH and free T4 and sometimes also a free T3. So it's really important. Oh, another thing I should have said about the reverse T3 is that you should be looking at the reverse T3 to free T3 ratio. So what that means is that your reverse T3 could be in a normal range, but in order to diagnose that we have some resistance going on, we need to see that the reverse T3 to T3 ratio is higher than 20. If it's higher than 20, we have resistance going on. We need to see that comparison.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that's wonderful. And what I'm going to do is write down for everyone all of those recommended labs. And I know there's some more too, like, you know, with ferritin and iron and B12.
Yeah.
So we'll write down maybe some of those so people have a guideline as to a more comprehensive set of labs that really gives the full picture rather than just the TSH, because I think that's what's happening a lot. I have tons of clients who have thyroid issues or all of those symptoms that point to thyroid issues and just get a TSH and get told that it's within normal limits, or maybe they're put on levothyroxine and it doesn't work really well, and then they're kind of told that maybe they're just not trying hard enough, or they need to sleep more, or they need to exercise more. So I think it's really good to know that there's a broader range, and for people to be armed with that information. So hopefully they can partner with a practitioner who was willing to do those different types of tests and kind of think a little bit more holistically. Because like you said, we can't just look at that one number, and that seems to be where people are getting into trouble. So I will write those down and have that as a guide for people for sure. And do you think then the next step is sort of, I guess, finding a practitioner that is willing to work with those different levels and help get you the right treatment you need? What has been your experience there?
Sure. In Cyprus, unfortunately, we do not have any functional medicine practitioners. We have some holistic practitioners. We do have naturopaths, which is great because, you know, they're looking at a little bit more broader symptoms. However, we don't have functional testing. This is a challenge here. Like, we're trying to find functional testing. But in the United States, in the UK, in other parts of Europe, you can find doctors or healthcare practitioners that have access to this functional medicine testing. And what I mean by functional medicine testing, for example, I mentioned that when we have a lot of reverse T3 because we're stressed out, that could signal that we have adrenal dysfunction, which means that we're overproducing or underproducing cortisol, you know, that feeling of tired but wired, or
yeah,
just exhausted, or just can't sleep at night or wake up during the night. These are all symptoms of adrenal dysfunction. And so, you know, there are saliva tests that you can do to kind of see where your cortisol levels are at and to see where the problem lies. These are more functional medicine tests that kind of delve more into the problem. Other kinds of functional medicine tests, you can have your root cause when it comes to thyroid disease, which I think is true for all autoimmune diseases, in the gut. So in functional medicine, what they're teaching us now is, like, when in doubt, start with the gut.
Yeah. That's my approach too.
Yeah.
Always.
And it makes sense. It makes sense. Like, if a doctor from 3000 years ago, Hippocrates, said all disease begins in the gut, it must be true, that because we're finding that.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense. And so, you know, looking for things like if there's a leaky gut, if there's dysbiosis, if someone has something like SIBO, which is small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, just a fancy name for bacteria growing in the small intestine when it shouldn't be. You know, these are all issues that, if you have a histamine intolerance, you know, that's a sign of a leaky gut. If you have autoimmune disease, that's a huge sign of a leaky gut.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And what is the one thing that controls the microbiome, all this diverse, great bacteria and viruses and parasites and fungi we have growing in our intestine, that microbiome, what does that microbiome need in order for it to work the best? The right nutrition. Mm-hmm. And this is why I was so excited in my journey to find out about how that nutrition, how nutrients and phytonutrients and minerals all work together to heal your gut and ultimately heal a lot of the symptoms that you face when you have an autoimmune disease.
Yeah, exactly. And I think this is a great time to talk a little bit more about some of the things that we have, you know, in our control in our day to day to kind of make choices with nutrition and gut health to really, you know, like the main, we were talking about that all disease kind of starts in the gut, or, you know, we have to focus on the gut anytime we know there's an autoimmune issue. And that's because 70% of our immune system lies in the area around our gut. So if there's any sort of dysfunction going on around with our immune system, we want to look to the gut and digestion. But also, I think the other side of it, like you said, is getting the right nutrients, because our immune system is a huge nutrient hog, uses tons of nutrients. And so if we're not getting from our diet these basic building blocks of what our immune system needs, then there can be some more dysfunction. So I think when we're thinking about the gut, thinking about those two different areas, and that nutrition can be huge. Like you said, you cut out gluten and it really, really helped your symptoms. And I know not everyone is going to be exactly the same with that, but that's pretty powerful to kind of have that experience. Yeah. And I know for me personally, diet and gut health and looking at infections in my gut was a huge turning point in me for improving some of my autoimmune symptoms too. So from a, I guess, thyroid specific standpoint, what's kind of your approach to nutrition? I know you and me are the same, like everyone's really different, but typically what are some of the first things that you think about nutrition wise, or what people can do or start to consider if they have a thyroid issue?
Sure. Well, the first thing that I think as a nutritionist, a lot of people come to me and they're ready for, okay, what are you going to cut out of my diet?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, I'm ready. I ate like a pig last night so that, you know, you could tell me what I'm not going to be eating anymore.
Yeah.
Just as important as what we're taking out of the diet, if not more important, is what we're putting back into the diet. Really focusing on nutrient density. I mean, that's really what's going to like heal the body. And so when you're looking at what you're going to take out, what I typically start people off with that they can usually do as like a stepping stone is first to really cut out all the sugar and processed foods.
Yeah.
That's just really not necessary. It's kind of scary that when we walk into a supermarket nowadays, 90% of the food that's sitting on the shelf is dead.
Yeah.
It's just dead food. Yeah. It does nothing.
Yeah.
That's kind of alarming.
Yeah. Yeah. And that there's no, I like how you say dead, like there's no life in it. There's no enzymes. There's no nutrients. There's nothing growing. It's like, yeah.
It's just dead. So the first step is taking out all the processed sugar and the processed foods just out of the diet. Sugar, as we all know, is just like the root of all evil when it comes to chronic disease. So we take out all the sugar, we take out all the processed foods. The second thing is, are the two ingredients that from my experience are like the likely culprits. So anything with gluten and dairy. So that's the second stage. We take out gluten and dairy. And that's not to say that people are, I know there's a lot of researchers and a lot of research that shows that gluten is an absolute no-no, but again, it's finding your normal. So what I tend to do is like a lot of people who, you know, have been on these protocols for like 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, a year out, they can start to eat like ancient grains like zeas or spelt or sorghum, which have less gluten in them once in a while, and they're fine.
Yep.
And that kind of speaks to the fact that we've healed the gut, that the gut is now able to, there's a more full microbiome, they're able to better process those grains. And that doesn't mean we're going to go back to eating, you know, processed white flour every single day, and, you know, obviously, that's not the goal. I've had people reintroduce all the way back up to high quality dairy products as well once in a while.
Yeah.
So it doesn't mean that I think that's one of the biggest things to take away from this. And when I was speaking to our mentors, Mickey and Angela, it's so important to remember that any healing diet is a process. And it's a process of learning about yourself and what works for your body. And a lot of people don't get that. They kind of think like, oh my God, I'm going to be eating practically nothing for the rest of my life. And it's just like, no, that's not the point here. Yeah. But what I see, the best thing I see in my patients is that those aha moments where it's like, you know what? I ate this yesterday and, you know, I'm not feeling 100%. There's something off. They kind of start making those connections, not only with food, but with other lifestyle choices as well. And so, yeah, the first thing is taking away those processed foods. The second step is gluten and dairy. Mm-hmm. And then depending on that, because I'm going to also give probiotics and supplements, depending on how the progression goes, I will either make them go all the way down to the elimination diet that we know as the autoimmune paleo protocol and have them on that for a few months and see how we go on that. Or if they're already getting better, I might just have them stay on that for a little while longer and see how the progression goes. So a lot of the time too, when we see that the diet is, people are doing great on their diet and they've reached like the 60% mark of feeling better and they still have 40% of not feeling better, that's when I kind of refer them to a functional medicine practitioner that has access to those toxicity reports and those toxic tests, because there might be an underlying infection that's going on. There might be an overgrowth going on. There might be, you know, something else going on that's not diet necessarily related. And that's typically the journey I walk my patients through. And what's wonderful is that you see people are not coming to me just to lose weight anymore. They come to me and they're like, Tina, all I care about is feeling better. I want to have energy to play with my kids. I want to have energy to enjoy my husband and, you know, go out on dates and not feel like a total loser.
Yeah.
From being so tired.
Yeah.
You know, I want to just be part of this life again. And I relate so much to that because I felt like a 95-year-old when I was 33 years old. And when I started coming back to life, there's nothing more precious than gaining that traction and feeling better. And that's not to say that the journey doesn't continue, because you still have your off days. You still have days of not feeling well. You still have days of, you know, that you just need to kind of, you have flares and things are going wrong, because life happens. You know, we can't control certain things in our lives. Life happens. But what I think going through this process teaches you is how to navigate through that and find your normal. So for example, if I'm going strong for 3 days straight, like just client after client, kids, life, just things for 3 days nonstop, what's going to happen is that the fourth day, I know that I'm going to crash a little bit. And so I know that I make time on that fourth day for rest and just eating good nutrient-dense food and just not doing anything. And also, I think what's very important, what helped me a lot, and I think that a lot of women kind of, not suffer with, but struggle with, is putting boundaries and saying no.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, a lot. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that yes, I think, let's put a more positive spin on it. Instead of saying no, let's say yes to ourselves.
Yeah.
Let's say yes to ourselves. And putting those boundaries, I think that, I mean, I'm 40 years old and I probably learned to do that 2 years ago.
Yeah, I'm still learning. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
in the beginning, you're kind of like, no. But then you're just kind of like, you know how to put a positive spin and say, well, listen, I'm not able to do that at this very moment, but these are the options I do have for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
The person.
And I like how you know, highlight that too as an essential part of managing a chronic thyroid condition, because, you know, as we said, the lab results and the nutrition protocols and all of these things are really important. But if we don't have energy reserves or downtime or rest or the ability to calm our nervous system, to know how to manage daily stress, it makes it all so much harder. And I know that's with any autoimmune condition or any human condition, I guess, but I like how your, you know, part of your plan is to, if you know you have those 3 days, you know what you need for that fourth day. And I'm sure it took you time to understand that and to learn what you need. And I think, like you said, that's part of the journey and that's what we're all kind of figuring out. But I have to do really similar things to that as well. And, you know, continuing to have a good foundation. Like, I think all of these things are so foundational because sometimes with thyroid health or with functional medicine or all of this, we're like kind of attracted to like these new shiny tests or things that might tell us the answer or like, what gene do I have that did this? And all of that, like you said, can be really important if you're troubleshooting and you're going along. But I like kind of bringing it back to the basics and the foundations of what we can literally do every single day, because it's more empowering. You know, we do have control every day. And if you don't have those foundations, then, and you're not kind of dealing with the terrain that allowed this dysfunction to happen in the first place, then some of those more like higher level interventions, I guess, might not work as well. So I love that, you know, for you, it's what you take people through is kind of finding their diet, you know, removing some of the known inflammatory foods, inflammatory triggers, working a lot on digestive and gut health, then finding their normal with their diet, which is going to be different from person to person, even with the diagnosis of Hashimoto's, and then really prioritizing some of that lifestyle stuff and helping our bodies to be in that rest and digest state to do what they need to do. Because when we're in that sympathetic state, our body can't actually really calm down and heal and digest even. So
yeah,
I like how that's a big part of what you do as well.
Yeah. I mean, it's also important to note that clinically, everybody's healing journey, like when they start feeling better, is a different story. You'll hear people say, oh, I've decreased my antibodies, or, oh, my symptoms have severely decreased, I'm feeling much better. Or there's actually 20% of people, I got this information actually from Dr. Isabella Wenz, who is like a leading thyroid authority in the United States. And she actually explained that in 20% of people, the thyroid can actually regenerate. Wow. So if you find the root cause of what's going on in your body, whether it's toxicity, whether it's some overgrowth, whatever it may be, there's actually a test that you can do, a doctor can give to test if your thyroid is working again and start to wean you off your thyroid medication. So there's that group of people too that can see a complete reversal of symptoms and regenerate their thyroid. Wow. So it's not that bleak diagnosis that, you know, I've heard from a lot of doctors and a lot of patients have told me, yeah, you know, my doctor said my body's attacking my thyroid and we're just going to wait for it to be destroyed and that's it. Well, that's kind of, you know, very defeating and very hopeless and you feel like you can't do anything about it. But my mission, what I'm trying to educate people on and what I'm trying to spread the message is that we are a very big part of our health journey. It's up to us. We can make a huge difference. And, you know, your doctor is basically someone you've hired to help you. So if he or she is not doing the right job for you, you know your body. You have every right to fire them and find somebody else. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in Cyprus, the mentality a little bit is that what the doctor says must be true. Mm-hmm. And that's a little bit scary because if you're putting 100% trust in somebody that has spent only 5 minutes with you, that's worrisome. Mm-hmm. So that's a little tip as well. If you found a doctor that spent the right amount of time with you to actually sit and discuss your journey and where you've been and where you're coming from and when your symptoms started and really taking the time to gather that right information, that's a good sign you're in the right hands. Mm-hmm. If you're going to a doctor that after 5 minutes is giving you 5 different pills for various conditions, these are red flags.
Yeah, definitely.
And you should be running in the opposite direction.
Definitely, because it's complex. Like we've said, it's not, and a lot of times, maybe practitioners just don't have enough time, you know, obviously, to go through all of these complex pieces. So that's why we now have, you know, health coaches and dietitians like yourself and people that are able to fill in the gaps in these other areas and help through that complexity. And when people, I'm just wondering, I guess, when people are kind of troubleshooting, you know, so they've done a lot with digestive health and gut health, and they're improving a little, but not a ton. What are some of the main, I guess, root cause factors or things that you have seen that have come up for further investigation for people, just so people have something on their radar?
Sure. Okay. So like we said before, we can have SIBO, which is one of the things that I see with a lot of thyroid patients are gut issues and irritable bowel syndrome, IBS. And so, Dr. Alison Seebecker, who's an authority again in SIBO, she says that 84% of people with IBS, their root cause is in having SIBO or small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. So kind of checking for that, you can contact the functional medicine doctor with that and ask them to run a breath test to check if you have this condition. And usually it's up to the practitioner if they're going to treat you with some antibiotic or some herbal antibiotic mixture that they've set for you to kind of get rid of it. Because a lot of the time, diet can definitely help, but if you eat one food that you're not supposed to eat, like even if it's an onion, all your symptoms can come back. Mm-hmm. So dealing with that, I find, can also help. Another big thing are toxins. I find that a lot of thyroid patients have a lot of toxicity. Mm-hmm. And so like I mentioned earlier, if we have those amalgams in our mouth, or if we got them removed and we're not sure if the dentist used the right prophylaxis to protect us against all that mercury exposure, that can definitely be a trigger. Mm-hmm. If you've had braces, like I've said before, and you have a nickel sensitivity, you can have nickel toxicity. So the good news there is that you can use nutrients and some supplements as well as diet to slowly detox the body and get it back to a healthy, normal state. And I think that other triggers, another big trigger, are nutrient deficiencies. And the big nutrient deficiencies that we see are vitamin D, B12, zinc, folate, which are just really important in general for your detox pathways, and also selenium. Selenium is a big antioxidant that helps the T4 to the T3 transition we talked about before. Mm-hmm. And also liver health is a big issue with thyroid patients. Mm-hmm. So 85% of that transition from T4 to T3 happens in the liver. The liver is just this dynamic organ that does so many things. It does detoxification, it does blood glucose regulation, it changes T4 to T3. And so if you have a sluggish liver, which can come from having nutrient deficiencies, your body's not going to detox properly, and therefore your symptoms persist with your thyroid issues. And then another thing I see is not being on the right medication. So just like you need to be on the right diet for yourself, medication should really be on a bio-individuality basis, based on what's going on with you. 65% of patients typically do better with a T4-T3 combo, which is done in a compounding pharmacy. There's also desiccated thyroid, which we talked about before, which is natural porcine hormone from the thyroid of the porcine, and you get T4, T3, T2, T1, and some calcitonin in there because you're basically getting desiccated thyroid.
Do you think that most people, that's a better choice, or is it kind of individual, right?
It's individual. It's individual. I mean, I'm not an expert on the actual medication, but from what I see from different, anecdotally from different patients, like what I see is different things work for different people.
Yeah.
And so it really depends on what how you're feeling. And you need to find a doctor that knows about these kind of things and how to specialize your medication for your body.
Yeah, that's a great point, because I know a lot of people will want to know about the different types of medications too. And that's even good to know that there's the T3, T4, and you would need to get that from a compounding pharmacy, but that depending on what your labs show and what your symptoms are, what your root causes are, it would be a different conversation. And I know some doctors are more open yes. than others to those different types of thyroid hormones that are not the synthetic ones. So it's just good to have a little more information there. And the last thing I was thinking about is just clarifying, like you said, because this we're basically talking about how with this, with, you know, diagnosing thyroid issues, it has to be your normal. Yeah, normal ranges versus optimal ranges for you, like for blood ranges, because I see this come up a lot with my clients where not only they'll say, oh, well, you're, you know, it's within normal range and it's that conventional range that you said was based on a group of sick people and it's really wide range, but that maybe you can shed a little more light on this, that maybe someone does better with a, you know, their optimal range for TSH is a little bit different than my optimal range for TSH mm-hmm. or something. What do you find in terms of that kind of finding your normal?
Yeah. Again, we really have to take what the patient is telling us and take that number with a grain of salt. So for TSH, what I typically see, most people feel their best between the tiny range of 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. And there's some people that feel better closer to 2, and there's some people that feel better closer to 1. So there's that range in there. With free T4 and free T3, what you want to aim for is you want those numbers in the upper half of the range, so upper normal. Mm-hmm. Okay, so if you see that your T3 is low normal, that's also an alarm bell. Like, and if you see that your T3 is low normal, and you're having all these symptoms, okay, so now it makes sense. You see what I mean? So you see how we're putting together the lab work with what the patient is telling us. And so those things are important. With your reverse T3, you want to see it in the lower half of normal. And with your free T3, the upper half of normal, so that we see that that range is better. But again, where you feel better is totally individualized. It depends. And more importantly than reading labs, it's looking at how is the person feeling. Because I have clients too that their antibodies are still elevated, but they're feeling awesome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we haven't found the root cause of what's elevating those antibodies, but their symptoms are drastically improved. So, and for them, that's great. They don't mind.
Yeah.
So everybody's normal is okay, is different. And then I have the other people that are like, I need to be perfect. And those people we need to work on, because we need to redefine perfect there. The people that are the perfectionists that want to do the A students that I relate to again.
Because, like you.
You know, we have to redefine perfect to be what's perfect for you and what's normal for you. And it's, that's another character trait. I've noticed, I don't know if you've noticed this, Christina, but I've noticed in my patients that have autoimmune disease, they're typically the type A perfectionist, dynamic, ambitious people that want to do everything.
Yeah, exactly. And I think we would maybe include ourselves in that, kind of push things a little bit more than we should. Definitely, definitely. Yeah. So I love that you have to find, kind of what's your normal, what's your perfect, and use not only the lab values, but also how you're feeling, which sometimes gets lost along the way, but that's the most important piece. So bringing those two together. So I think that's a beautiful summary of kind of everything we talked about is, you know, looking at the labs and investigating all of these things, but also tuning into how you're feeling and feeling empowered on a daily basis to make choices that, you know, can help your health. So I think that is fantastic. And that is, you just shared so much good information. And I think people will be really, really grateful for all of that. And like I said, I'm going to write down some of the labs and everything we spoke about. So if people have more questions, and if people want to get in touch with you, how do they find you?
They can come to my website, thethyroiddietitian.com, which, by the way, next week I'm launching my new website, so it's going to have a new look. Yeah, and they can also find me on Facebook and on Instagram and follow me and see what I'm up to and what I'm doing. I am also launching the Thyroid Healing Summit, which you are going to be a part of, Christina. Yay!
Yes, I can't wait.
And we're having practitioners from all around the world come to Cyprus and talk about all these great holistic therapies that people can do to empower themselves, to make themselves feel better in their healing journeys. So yeah, you can also visit thyroidhealingsummit.com and also read about that as well. So yeah, that's how you can find me.
Perfect. Amazing. Well, I'll put all the links to that. And yeah, I'm so excited. That's like Disneyland for me. All of the world talking about amazing holistic health things. So, Okay, wonderful. Well, thank you so much for your expertise and your time. Really appreciate everything you're doing. And I know this will be really, really helpful for people. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Christina. And thank you for all the great work that you're doing. Keep it up. I'm proud of you.
Thank you. You can download your free guide to thyroid lab testing by going to christinatidwell.com/thyroid checklist. Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Live Well podcast. I'm so happy to have you here as part of the tribe. If you're looking for more guidance on how to take control of your health through diet, lifestyle, and personal empowerment, you can visit me at christinatidwell.com or book in a free 30-minute discovery call to get clear on your main health concerns and create a plan of action specifically for you by going to christinatidwell.com/livewell. For daily tips on how to pursue health while still enjoying yourself, follow me at livewell_Christina on Instagram. I can't wait to connect with you and hear your story.